guys. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is a free topic, so I can talk about whatever I like. So I'm just as interested as you are about what's going to come out. Right, if you want to turn to two places, first one is Isaiah in your Bibles, obviously. Isaiah 61. I'm going to read verses 1 to 7. And then, if you keep your finger in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. You might be using an iPad, in which case you can just tap away. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 61 reads like this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs." Thank you, Jesus. What a great scripture. Thank you, Lord. And over to Luke 4, starting at verse 18. You might recognize some of this. This is Jesus. He comes to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stands up to read the scroll. He was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, this is what it said. This is what he read out: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Thank you, Jesus. So you can talk a lot about Jesus. Many people say different things about Jesus. But right here is why Jesus came. Jesus is not just a good teacher. Jesus isn't just like a friendly guy. This is why Jesus came. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to preach the good news to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to give liberty to the captives. We're talking good news, freedom, and healing. And I really believe that Jesus, who is alive and around today, living inside of us, he wants to minister to us in specific ways this morning. Because we have a living God, as George said. We don't worship a God who is stone or clay. We worship a God who is real and active right now. Like right now. He's amazing. And the Christian life is to be immersed in the good news of Jesus Christ. It's to be immersed in it. Baptized in the good news of Jesus Christ is to be obsessed with Jesus. It's to be taken over by God. It's to know that He's the only source. He's the only fountain of grace that we're ever going to need. And He's the only fountain of grace that we're ever going to have. And that's us as Christians. That's what we're to do. We're to immerse ourselves in the good news. We're to immerse ourselves in the ministry of Jesus. And the good news is that we can partner now with Jesus in His ministry. We can partner with freedom. We can partner with good news. We can partner with sight. And that's what we're called to do, because we're gathered here on a Sunday because of good news. Now, we might know bad news. We get a lot of bad news. But the reason we're here is because of good news. And it's not good news that your team went through in the FA Cup, although that is good news. We're talking amazing news, the good news of Jesus. And the awesome thing about it is it's not just Jesus, it actually involves us. Because He wants it that way. It's His idea that we would immerse ourselves in His ministry, that we would give it out to others. It's not that we lock ourselves away in this chapel and talk about Jesus and receive Jesus, although that's what we do. But actually the purpose of it is that we would then give it out. But we don't have to think about that when we're receiving it, because Jesus teaches us by touching us. That's how He teaches us. We come together corporately in worship, and He touches us, and we're taught by Him by His touch. It's amazing how the kingdom works. Now, that's not to say that teaching isn't awesome and amazing, but actually, when we're touched by Jesus, we're illuminated to Jesus by His Holy Spirit. We're illuminated to God by God. And that's good news. Because all we're required to do is surrender. We just surrender to it. And He touches us. And He teaches us, and we're changed, and we just give it out. It just changes who we are, because the kingdom of God is not about what you do. The kingdom of God is about who you are. The kingdom of God is not about what you do. It's about who you are and what you do from who you are. That's good news, because now we don't have to do things not knowing who we are. Now we have to surrender. And we discover who we are, and then we do things. And what do? We do the ministry of Jesus. Now, as we read in Luke, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah, and He's actually boldly proclaiming that He's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. In Hebrew, it's Yeshua Mashiach, Messiah, the anointed one. In Greek, it's Christos. Christ, the anointed one. We are Christians. We are anointed ones. Christians means little Christ. That's what we are. We are little Christ. Now, we're not Christ. We're not the Messiah. But we're little versions of Him. Because the gospel is amazing. God was love. God is love. Out of His love, He creates us. Out of our disobedience, we wreck the relationship, but His love just does not give up, and He rescues us through Jesus Christ, and now we're in relationship with Jesus Christ. He then walks the earth, does all the ministry, then He goes to be resurrected, then He sends His Holy Spirit to us to carry on that ministry. That's what we're here to do. Now, there's loads of cool things that we can do in this world, but essentially we are called and anointed to do what Jesus did. We are called to proclaim the good news to the poor. We are called to heal the brokenhearted. We are called to proclaim liberty to the captives. We are called to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim herald and talk about the acceptable year of the Lord's favour. So here we have this is the definition of Jesus' ministry, and it's the essence of the good news of the kingdom of God. The world and the enemy and many other things in the flesh can distort your perspective, and this is what Jesus was all about. This is what Jesus is all about. He's about setting people free. And he's amazing. Now, later on in Luke 9, we don't have to turn to it. Verses 1 and 2, it reads, "Then Jesus called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." So here we have God in the flesh, and he's a God of order, so he goes through these things. He's baptized, he's anointed by the Holy Spirit in his humanity to set an example for us for how to live, and then he anoints his disciples and said, "Now you go." Now, God could have done all that by himself, but for some reason, he chose disciples to anoint and send them out. John 20:21 says, Jesus says to the disciples after his resurrection, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." Matthew 28:19, as many people call the Great Commission, he tells the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus anoints the disciples are anointed to go and preach the gospel, to make disciples of all nations. Generation, 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 bang, here we are. So my question is, as disciples, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be receiving the anointing, the immersing of the Holy Spirit, to carry on what Jesus did. The disciples received the ministry of Jesus to pour out to others. Mark 3:14 says, "He appointed the 12 so they might be with him, and then he might send them out to preach." So when he says they would be with him, that's the place where they received the anointing with Jesus. And then from that place they would go out and preach. And I ask myself the question, why am I not walking in this? Why do I feel like I'm lacking in receiving the kingdom? And then why do I feel like I'm lacking in giving the kingdom out? And am I the only one? Because I just started asking the Lord, if this is the purpose, and I know there's other purposes and other things, but Lord, I just love you, Jesus. I just want you. I just want you, and I just want what you have for me. And I'm sure we can say the same. And somewhere along the line, it's got to involve freedom to me. And it's got to involve freedom to you. It's got to involve an anointing for me and an anointing for you. It's got to involve an anointing for us. So therefore, I can receive the healing and my heart would not be broken, and I can proclaim liberty to the captives. Because I believe a big challenge for us is that as Christians, we're somehow unable to receive the ministry of Jesus. How on earth, Lord, are we supposed to set the captives free when I'm a captive myself? How am I supposed to give sight to the blind when I can't see a thing? How am I supposed to heal the brokenhearted, Jesus, as a disciple of you, when my heart is broken? How am I supposed to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, when frankly, Lord, if I'm honest before your face, last year wasn't that great? I'm just being real. And so we find ourselves in a place where we're desperate for an anointing because we're somehow urge to preach the gospel, even though we don't have any strength to do so, because there's brokenness and there's blindness and there's not much freedom. And I was breezing through Acts, and I came breezing. That's not in my notes. And I came to Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 23. And it's a story of Peter and John, and I'll just read it. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that, and this Simon guy is a sorcerer who gets baptized and he's following them around, he sees the apostles laying their hands on people and the Holy Spirit was given. And he offers them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this, your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." This is the verse. "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. This is not a case of me saying, you guys are all poisoned by bitterness, you're all bound with iniquity, and I'm fine, so here's three easy steps to get out of it just like me. That's not reality. I was sat in that office and I read that and I felt the Lord just touch me, coming upon me, and he didn't really say anything, it was just the Holy Spirit just touching me to teach me that there's bitterness in my heart. And because of that, there's bindings of iniquity in my heart. And I really felt this is for us, because God's called our family up here almost to join in with you. We're not super family who's going to lead everyone in. We're with you. And I feel that I'm not the only one who has struggled or in some way, shape or form has bitterness in their hearts. If it's just me, then I'm having a good time right now. You can all watch it. Bitterness binds us in iniquity and will rob us of what God wants to give us. Bitterness will rob you of what God wants to give you. It's not God may rob you, or sorry, bitterness may rob you, or bitterness could rob you. It's bitterness will rob you of what God wants for you. It's that powerful. As John Arnott calls it, a grace blocker. Bitterness will rob us of our God-given purpose to demonstrate God's kingdom. And the good news is that Jesus Christ frees us from bitterness. That's what he does. He loves to do that. And I'm just going to give you a description of bitterness and a description of iniquity. This is from Jack Hayford, an American theologian. Bitterness is the deepening effect of unforgiveness. Tolerated or embraced unforgiveness, like poison, permeates and binds the soul, ultimately corrupting everything around it. One of the foremost keys to deliverance from entrenched bondage in a believer's soul is the act of forgiveness. Forgiving others from our heart flushes out the poison with the power of the cross. Unforgiveness can, as with Simon, lead us down paths we never imagined we would travel. Unforgiveness can, as with Simon, as we read, lead us down paths we never imagined we would travel. Description of the word iniquity. It actually means unrighteousness, from the Greek word adikia. And John 7:18, Jesus links unrighteousness to seeking your own glory. He says, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So effectively, unforgiveness breeds bitterness, which puts you in chains of iniquity, unrighteousness, where you're so inward looking, all you're looking at is your humanity and the sinful aspect of the humanity. And you're locked in. And then you're locked in just where the enemy wants you, not able to give out. Now you try and give out, and we do our best. But I'm talking about Holy Spirit empowered ministry, not just doing our best. That's what God wants for us. God isn't content with us just massaging the world. He wants people to experience his love and Holy Spirit through the kingdom, through the power of the gospel, through his disciples. Because that's the only way they're going to get free. That's how we got free. We met God. And I'm sure all of us can give a testimony of how someone who explained the gospel, or God came and then God just opened your eyes. That only happens with the Holy Spirit. You see, staying in unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping someone else dies. I love that. I'm going to say it again. Staying in unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping someone else dies. That's how deceived we can be. But forgiveness cancels and uproots bitterness and frees us from the chains of self-centeredness, allowing the Holy Spirit to be released through us that we might look outward from a place of health, spiritual health. That's what God wants for you. It's amazing. So we might ask the question, how can we forgive and be released from the poison of bitterness and iniquity? I was hoping you might have the answer. I do have a suggestion. We surrender our lives to receive the ministry of Jesus, and in that glorious truth, we choose to forgive others. We surrender our lives to receive the ministry of Jesus, and in that glory, that amazing mystery that we would be forgiven, we choose to forgive others. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, when we receive revelation of our forgiveness, we forgive others. You know that passage in Matthew 6? It says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And again, Martin Lloyd-Jones, the broad teaching of that, he says, when we receive revelation of our forgiveness, we forgive others. We have to receive revelation of our forgiveness. And then forgiving others will just become part of who we are. It won't be a work. We won't try to do it. I've tried to forgive people in my life, in my own strength, because I'm doing it because God says I have to. But actually, if you step back and say, Lord, how can I get through this? God is a giver. He says, receive my ministry and watch what happens. Receive my good news and see what happens. Receive liberty from me, says Jesus. See what happens. Because the passage we read in Luke 4, it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus because he's anointed Jesus to preach the gospel to the poor. Now the poor, the picture there is of a beggar with nothing. Nothing except a cup just in front of them for money. And unless someone puts money in that cup, that beggar is going to die. There is no one who's going to help them. No one. And that beggar was you and I. And the good news is that Jesus saw us in our poverty and he came. We had no hope unless he put money in our cup, picked the cup up and picked us up and rescued us. Unless he did that, we had no chance. None. And that's the good news. That we had no chance and Jesus came. We had nothing. We were blind. We were lost. We were poor. And he came to set us free. And that's our Jesus. Let's just receive that. Let's just receive that. That was us. We were lost. We had no hope. And Jesus came. And he rescued us. Colossians 2 says, "And you who were dead in your sins and your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. He cancelled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." We were dead. Jesus made us alive. We were poor. Jesus gave of himself, which is riches beyond belief. We were hungry, and he fed us, and he feeds us. This is the ministry of Jesus. This is why he came, to set us free. Jesus. I believe that Mount Chapel is, we are called to be a place where people receive the ministry of Jesus. That they would receive good news. That they would receive liberty. And freedom and healing, that they may go out into the world and be an example of Jesus. They would bring good news to people who need good news. They would love the neighbor as God has loved them. And I guess the point really is that we need to know the ministry of Jesus, that we can be an example of Jesus. Because I believe that many of us try and do what Jesus did without dealing with the bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts. And as far as I know best, the way to forgive is to receive forgiveness from Jesus and choose to forgive others. So right now, I just want you to just still your hearts. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's in the stillness that you experience God. It's in the stillness the knowledge and encounter of God comes. Just receive the forgiveness. It's just in your heart. Just pray along with me. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I was lost, and now I'm found. And Lord, I've held on to so many things that have weighed down my journey. When you told your disciples to travel light, I choose to travel light. And Lord, I turn away from sin. I confess that I've held on to unforgiveness. Even though you've forgiven me, I've held on to it. And ask, Lord, that you now wash me clean with your blood afresh. Thank you, Lord, that your grace is a fountain. And Lord, in the revelation right now of that you have forgiven me of everything, you would empower me by your Holy Spirit to forgive others and love others as I have been loved and as I have been forgiven. Come, Holy Spirit. Do your work, Jesus. Lord, I choose to forgive those who have sinned against me. Lord, I choose to forgive those who have broken my heart. Lord, I choose to forgive those who have let me down. And Lord, I release myself to you right now for all the times I let myself down and that I let others down. And I said the wrong thing. And I did the wrong thing. And I fell short. I repent and turn to you, Lord. And I receive a refreshing from you right now. Father God, I just see a picture of roots being torn up. Just remember, he's the one doing it. You're just cooperating with him. Jesus. Thanks for your forgiveness, Jesus. Stay where you are. I'm just going to throw a few seeds out to close. Did you know that the sufficiency of the gospel to wipe your sins away is not dependent on your understanding of it? The sufficiency of what Jesus did to wipe your sins away is not dependent on your understanding of it. There's much to understand about the good news of Jesus, but the sufficiency is rock solid. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is sufficient for you. Now, as your understanding of the gospel increases, your enjoyment of it increases, and your experience and your encounter of it increases, but the sufficiency does not change. Our acts of sin prevention do not complete our freedom from sin. My not sinning is not what frees me from sin. you not sinning is not what frees you from sin. It's good to do sin prevention with discipline, obedience, self-control. All those things are awesome to pursue. But your obedience and your discipline is not what frees you from sin. Christ's salvation as a complete work, utterly for you, outside of yourself, without any help from you, is what frees you. That's what sets you free. It's His work. Forgiveness literally means to release. As a believer, you have been released. You notice when Jesus quotes Isaiah 61, he stops at the verse and the day of vengeance of our God. He stops when he says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he doesn't read out on the day of vengeance of our God. And the reason he does that is because we're in the age of grace. Vengeance is coming. Vengeance is God. But he stopped there because he's here to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, where arms are open for all to come in. And when you forgive someone, it doesn't mean what they did was right. It means you're releasing it to the Lord. And when you forgive yourself and release yourself, it doesn't mean what you did was right. It means that you're surrendering yourself to the Lord. Because what happens if we don't have a full understanding of the cross, because we have inbuilt justice systems inside us where we believe someone needs to be punished for that, we'll end up punishing ourselves. But because of the cross, we lay it on Jesus. It was our sin that he was punished for. It was our rebellion that he was punished for. And we are living in the age of grace where we are to surrender to that amazing grace. And the Holy Spirit will change your heart. The more you surrender to it, the more you encounter it, the more you understand it, the more you pursue it, the more you give your life to the gospel, the good news of the mercy and the grace and the year of Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord, He will change you. And you will find yourself forgiving things and releasing things. He will open up things in your heart which you've forgotten about. And he will ask you to lay them down at his feet. Jesus, we are utterly dependent on you for forgiveness. Jesus, we are utterly dependent on you for the awareness of our forgiveness. Jesus, we are totally dependent on you for the empowerment to forgive others. For we choose to cooperate with it, and we choose to release them to you nonetheless. For you do not desire that we drink poison, you desire that we drink your Spirit. And we drink your Spirit right now, Jesus. We choose to forgive in your strength as you enlighten us to our own forgiveness. Don't let anything hold you back from receiving the forgiveness of Christ. Jesus said, "Don't fear, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's the Father's good pleasure to receive the ministry of Jesus. It's the Father's good pleasure that you would drink good news, that you would drink the oil and wine from heaven. Father, I thank you for the anointing that was on Jesus. I thank you for the anointing that was on the disciples and the apostles. And I thank you, Lord, you desire to pour out your Spirit on all flesh. And that includes us. And we choose to position ourselves, Lord, to receive your forgiveness by your Holy Spirit, Lord, by your blood. We repent, turn away from it, and receive your forgiveness. And we choose to walk in that, Lord. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would empower us to see others the way you see them. In Jesus' name. Amen.